Lift your voice and let's thank the Lord tonight for what He said to do in our lives. Lift your voice and let's thank the Lord for what He said to do in our lives. Give Him the praise. Give Him the glory. Give Him honor. De la barada babala taka pataka sato la vereta port hasataya babarada. Master, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you because tonight is the night that we will live to remember. Thank you because tonight is that night that you have a mark to change a life. To change your destiny. Blessed be your holy name. We ask, Lord, that you begin something great with us tonight and do something remarkable in the life of everyone. Breathe upon us, release upon us your help. What is upon your servant for us tonight, we connect with it, we draw it. We pull it. We receive it. And none shall return the same way He came in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap of praise. And please be seated in God's presence. Just for the next few minutes, I'm going to be sharing a word, a charge with us. And the things I'm going to say tonight are things I have learned from my father, my prophet, and the prophet over our lives. I want to sincerely appreciate our father and our mother for giving us the privilege of service and to be of service in the house. Please celebrate God's servant, God's handmaiden, our mother, and our father in the Lord. Please celebrate them with a big clap offering. This charge is necessary because I know something has dropped upon somebody, and something yet bigger will drop upon somebody, and that we are living here mobile fire. If you are the one, you say a louder amen. If you are the one, you say a louder amen. I want to give a charge on what I titled Sustaining Spiritual Fire. When you come to a meeting like this, mantles come upon us. When you come for a meeting like this, you return with something heavy upon your life. When you come for meetings like this, you receive instructions that charges you, charge your life. You receive instructions that transform your life. You receive instructions that mold your life, that gives you a form and a shape. But many times, when we step out of such meetings, many of us are tempted to return to the ordinary that we were before we came for the meeting. But that will not be anybody's story. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, the reason why God has set His servants over our lives, the reason why they put in all their energies and they are working day and night tirelessly to keep impacting us, instructing us, teaching us, is so they can produce out of us saints that will be useful in the kingdom of God. Saints that will be useful in the hand of God. Fire brand men that God can count on any time. Not men who will be on fire in church and be water outside of the church. Sustaining spiritual fire is a necessity. And my objective is just very simple as the title. It is understanding how to maintain your spiritual fire. Understanding how to maintain your spiritual fire. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Permit me to reframe this scripture right now, that you are being reminded right now. I of our Father in the Lord, of our Father over our lives, that the mantles that you connect, that the fire that you connect, that the injections that you receive, that the instructions that you receive, those instructions are translated into practical work in your life. Wherefore I put in remembrance that you stir up, you fan into flame, that you fan into flame the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So what are those things that you need to do to maintain your fire? How do you sustain spiritual fire? So that you don't say, last year I came for Ignite Conference, but when I went back home, I got tempted away. When I went back home, something happened, and then you are not the person that left the Ignite Conference. God forbid. As you are living here, the only thing that is permitted to happen to you is increase in fire, increase in fervency, increase in productivity, in the mighty name of Jesus. Number one is that you identify and continually review your spiritual goal. Identify and continually review spiritual goal and vision for your life. You are living here with a spiritual goal, a spiritual target for yourself. I know that you came here tonight and your mind was made up that as I'm going to the Ignite Conference, a burning and a shining light, I am coming back home, I am returning back home, that same burning and a shining light, and I will continue to burn brighter and brighter. For the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. The destiny of the child of God is to grow, not to reduce. The destiny of the child of God is to increase, is to progress in life. So you set a spiritual goal, a spiritual vision for yourself, such that if you were praying for 20 minutes before, you tell yourself, from the fire I am receiving here, I am going back from this place and I am going to be praying for 1 hour. I'm going to be praying for 2 hours. I'm going to be praying for 3 hours. Why God's servant tells us his stories is so that you will see and know what is practicable, so that you will know what God can do with a man. If after hearing all these testimonies and our lives are not changed, then you have wasted his effort. What you cannot define, you cannot find. If you cannot set a target for yourself, there is nothing to meet. There is nothing to meet. You become lazy when there is no target. You become lazy when there is nothing that you are pursuing. You become careless when there is no goal. You become careless when there is no vision. You can never attain a spiritual height that you don't desire or pursue. No matter how you see people, you see somebody on fire. Hey, that brother is on fire. Hey, that sister is on fire. Until you take responsibility and set a goal for yourself. By this time next month, I should be able to pray without breaking for 3 hours. That brother that I saw at the conference, I want to be able to pray the way he prays. That sister that I saw at the conference, I want to be able to study the Bible the way she studies her Bible. By the time you set such goals for yourself, then you are on the way to sustaining your spiritual fire. Number two, maintain a consistent schedule of waiting on the Lord. Maintain a consistent schedule of waiting on the Lord. Engage in consecrational fast and prayers from time to time. Don't go back home and be sleeping. Don't go back home and be lazy about. Don't go back home and just begin to hang out and begin to flock with people who add no value to your life. By the time you have set goals for yourself, part of your goals is, how many times should I fast in a week? I will do fast once in a week, twice in a week, 3 times in a week. You set such goals for yourself. And by the time you begin to, this is not fasting to say, Lord, I want you to show me who I will marry. No, this is not fasting to say, Lord, give me money. This is fasting to say, Lord, I am your own. I am your own. Till the day you will come, Master, I am your own. You are going to interact, fellowship, commune with the Father, just to acquaint yourself with the Father, just to come before Him and have a very robust relationship with Him from time to time. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall grow in strength. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their spiritual strength, their spiritual energy, their spiritual fervency. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. If you don't want to faint in your spiritual journey, waiting on the Lord is key, is important. If you don't want to become weary in your spiritual journey, waiting on the Lord is important. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29. Say, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. So in the place of prayer, you experience consistent transformation. And the Lord said to us that the prayer of a man who prays changes the man. So if you are a prayer man, your prayer changes your life. The master was praying, and the prayer, at the point of prayer, there was a transformation that happened. So in the place of prayer, you receive spiritual transformation, spiritual shift, spiritual growth. Maintain consistent schedule of waiting on the Lord, of engage in consecrational fast and prayer. Number 3, maintain a consistent diet of fresh word. Maintain a consistent diet of fresh word. Fresh word. Fresh word. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. He said, and I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I can't keep quiet, because the more I keep studying the word, the more the word is shot up in my bones. And no matter how troubled you are, when you have enough word in you, that word is the answer to the trouble of your life, to the distractions of your life. So connect fresh word enough so that the things that happen around you are not strong enough to reduce your fire intensity, to reduce your spiritual fire. He said, I have said to myself, I am not going to make mention of his name. But I couldn't keep quiet. I can't keep quiet. I just can't stop talking about him. I just can't stop working for him. I just can't stop serving him. I just can't stop worshiping him. I just can't stop looking for him. Why? His word is shut up in my heart as fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot stay. I cannot stay. When you are too comfortable, is a signal that there is no word to propel you. When you are too relaxed as a Christian, is a signal that there is a deficiency of God's word that is not able to drive you, that is not able to push you to do more as you are doing. Maintain consistent diet of the word. Look at Psalm 39 and verse 3. Psalm 39 and verse 3. He said, my heart was hot within me. I carried fire within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. While I was thinking, I was meditating, the fire burned. Then spake I with tongue. You see, when there is so much fire inside of you, when you study the world to the point where there is explosion, you are not able to keep it. You know it until your mouth cannot keep shut. You know it until your mouth cannot keep quiet. You know it until you cannot just stay. The word of God, as you think on the word, as you meditate on the word, as you muse on the word, it causes explosion. It causes explosion. By the time there is implosion, it graduates into explosion. Because there is something that is choking you inside. There is something that is piercing you inside. It is called the word of God. The word of God. Number 4. Maintain a consistent fellowship with the brethren. Maintain consistent fellowship with the brethren. Maintain consistent fellowship with the brethren. You see, there are people you see in such kind of gatherings. But after such gatherings, you don't see them in church. You don't see them in fellowships. You don't see them in other meetings. But they come once in a while. Once in a while. You ask somebody, where do you worship? And then he calls the name of the church. What department are you? He's not in any. He attends service at will. No. That is not Christianity. It is important that you know that when we come together, when we fellowship together as brethren, there is a release of grace. There is a release of a dimension of synergy in power, synergy in spiritual fire. And that affects every member, everyone in the church. There is a growth. There is a building of spiritual stamina. There is a building or a development of spiritual fire and spiritual power. When we come together before the Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 84 and verse 7, they appeared before the Lord. They said they grow from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Where we grow in strength is in the presence of God. In the gathering of believers together, where we grow in strength. You want to develop spiritual stamina, you want to grow in your spiritual strength. Come to the gathering of the brethren. Come to the gathering of the brethren. We experience sharpening of our spirit. We experience sharpening of our spirit when we fellowship together. It is like iron sharpened iron. There are some of us who come to church and then you caught fire because you saw somebody that fire was burning upon. You came to church tonight and then you caught fire because you heard a word that came. So in the gathering of the brethren, there is release of spiritual energy. There is release of spiritual fire. There is release of spiritual fire. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 all the way to verse 3. What happened? It was on the day of Pentecost. Was fully come, the Bible said. And they were with one accord in one place. They were gathered together as brethren. And all of a sudden there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tonight we shall receive the filling in the name of Jesus. And they appeared unto them. Cloven tongues, like as of fire, like as of fire. So when there is a coming together, it looks like God is looking for where to drop fire. So when there is a coming together, fire comes. You see, we heard about burning bush. When you see where they set bushes on fire, they thicker the bush, the higher the fire. Are we together? When you put one, you set one grass standing on fire, it will just do and drop. That's all. You may not even finish burning. Let them come together. Pata, 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 pata. Put them, let it become very thick. Pa, 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 pa. When there is a gathering of the brethren, it is like when there is a gathering of bush, where there is a thick bush and someone wants to set the bush on fire, the burning becomes very easy. It becomes very fast. Number 5. This one is very serious. Accept spiritual responsibility. Accept spiritual responsibility. Tell yourself, it is my duty to grow. Tell yourself, it is my duty to grow. Don't be like a stone beaten by the rain. When you come to church and you hear the word and then you don't take any action step. You don't write any action point out of it. There is no responsibility the word puts on you. If there is no responsibility the word puts on you, or if there is no responsibility you are put upon yourself to grow, Growth is not possible. Growth is not possible. If you like, receive laying of hands, you must accept responsibility. Pastor is not going to follow you to your house and tell you it is time for prayer. Pastor is not going to follow you to your house and tell you it's time to study the Bible. Pastor is not going to follow you to the house and tell you, Kay, don't sleep with that brother. Kay, don't sleep with that sister. You must accept responsibility. And God's servant said to us that any message that you hear that does not place a responsibility on you is a useless message. Spiritual responsibility is key to spiritual intensity. The number of hours you want to be praying is a matter of personal responsibility. Number six, avoid the wrong company. Avoid the wrong company. You see, anybody that is not going in your direction is not permitted to be in your association. Is not qualified to be in your company. God's servant said that to us. Anybody that is not going in your direction is not eligible to be in your company. So you must avoid the wrong company. People who tell you, all this prayer you've been praying, what have you seen? All this church you've been going, what have you seen? Don't mind them. You see, if you plant a seed today, you don't harvest today. The days that you are doing the prayers, doing the church going, and they see nothing, they are your days of planting of seed. Just wait for it. There is a time to plant, and there is a time for harvest. There is a sowing time and there is a reaping time. Beloved, not everybody is qualified to be your friend. Not everybody is qualified to be in your company. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. In the same vein, the man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you cannot see people who will sharpen your fire, and you begin to follow anybody you see at all, you will help yourself to quench the fire. You will help the devil to fulfill his assignment very fast in your life. Beloved, understand that evil communication corrupts good manner. 1 Corinthians 15:33. So if you don't choose your association well, you might end up killing your fire. Number seven, maintain a permanent atmosphere of God's presence. Maintain a permanent atmosphere of God's presence. You should be conscious of God's presence every time. Anytime you feel that you are not feeling God's presence, you should react against such atmosphere. Provoke His presence permanently, consistently. Just be sure that you are feeling His presence. Just be sure that you are feeling His presence. Permanently. Psalm 89 and verse 15. Just be sure that you're feeling His presence permanently. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. That countenance should become your gift. It should become what you desire to experience. It should become what you desire to see. Number eight is constant touch with your prophet and pastoral cover. Constant touch with your prophet and pastoral cover. Don't outgrow covering. Don't outgrow your church. Don't outgrow your pastor. Don't feel you have known so much. You can now do it on your own. Don't feel because they invited you to come and preach in one small meeting, you are now a man of God. Remain connected. Remain under cover. You see, in the time of Elisha and Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1 to 15, there were 50 other sons of the prophet without name. We saw the name of Elisha. We saw his name because he was the only son of the prophet who reproduced or who showed us the result of followership. The Bible said they stood from afar, the 50 sons of the prophet, they watched from afar. they were viewing afar off. And then the two, Elijah and Elisha, they stood by the Jordan. These guys were very far. Maybe they were doing ministry in their own capacity. Maybe they were doing what they know how to do. Because they could prophesy. They could tell Elisha, in case you are not sensitive enough, we want to let you know, are you aware that your master is about to be taken? Are you aware? He said, relax, relax. I'm aware. Just maintain your peace. At the end of the day, the same people saw Elisha return from followership. Elisha returned from dogged followership. And they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elijah. You see, any cover that you cannot place value to stay under, that cover will not give you shade. That cover will not give you protection. Don't sit in a place and assume that I am there. Your followership must be proven. Your followership must be clear. Your pastor is carrying the word that lights and fires your spirit. He carries the word. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. He said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So to be pastorless is to die of hunger. To be pastorless is to survive without feeding. To be pastorless is to survive without feeding. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 8. He said, he sent a word into Jacob and it alighted upon Israel. You see, your pastor is carrying the word that will lighten your destiny. Tonight, as we connect with what God's servant is carrying upon his life, we will proceed from here. To reproduce it, maintain the fire, reproduce the fire everywhere we go. And if you are the one that is going to live here to maintain that fire and to flame that fire to flame, you will stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Many of us were here tonight when we say mantles are falling and then we're praying. Let me say this to you. When Elisha said, I want a double portion of your anointing, Elijah said, what you have asked is a hard thing. It's a hard thing. What did he ask for? Mantle. What did he ask for? Anointing. Hard thing can be connected with dogged focus, unbroken focus, with sense of value and seriousness. He said, if you can see me when I am taken, then you can have it. When you can see me when I am taken. So it is not what you take because you are around. It is what you take because you desire intensely. It is what you take because you have unbroken focus. It is what you take because you have so much value for it. Value was what made Elisha to keep following, even when others felt they have become prophets. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. Give God the praise. If you are blessed and if this word made any meaning to you, thank the Lord for his word to us. Thank the Lord for his word to us. As we live here tonight, we will maintain what God is going to drop upon us. What God is going to drop upon us in Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands to heaven. This night, our Father and the Lord is going to be with us. And something will fall. Something will fall. From the story of Elisha that we just read. Maybe you put it on the screen again. Let's quickly read through it. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1. Can we read it together? One to go.
And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, herefore the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Hunger, he couldn't let him go. And 50 men. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. They had to pass one river first. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let the double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a wild wind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Where is the mantle I talked about? And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters, what he saw before, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over immediately. When the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Dr. Pastor Paul Edenche doth rest upon Victor. And they came to meet him and bow themselves and worship him. I hope that is prophetic for somebody. Hear me. You must be desperate. You must be desperate. You must be desperate. God's servant said to us that Elijah did not give Elisha the mantle. Elisha pulled the mantle by the force of desperation, by the force of desire. By the force of desire, there was a woman with the issue of blood who had suffered in Mark chapter 5. And then in 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in, they pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Somebody saying, if only I can be under the voice of my father tonight, something will drop upon me. If only I can just see him stand here, minister, I will pull it by force of desperation. Let's read on. And then she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she fell in her body. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Mind you, he turned about in the press. There was crowd. So he was in the midst of people. People were pushing from here, thronging from every side. But he felt the touch of one person. He felt the touch of one person. And the people said, can't you see the multitude thronging on you? Why are you talking like this? Who touched you? What kind of question is this? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Hey, the woman, fearing, because she knew she just pulled something. She knew she just pulled an unction. She knew she just collected something. Knowing that what was done to in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. What changed this woman's life? Desperation. Everybody else was around, but one woman connected the grace. It's possible for you to have... This is also a multitude. Don't let it be only Pastor Victor who will catch this thing. Don't let it be only one person who will connect this thing. What we are about to do is crying for the dropping of the mantle. Before he comes here, you prepare yourself. So in the next 30 minutes, you are going to pray in the Holy Ghost non-stop. Did you hear me? So we can have some persons on the backup. It is what we call tongues of fire in Ignite Conference. It might be prolonged to 1 hour. The schedule is 1 hour, but we will start with 30 minutes. Are we ready? Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I have come all the way.
I have come all the way.
All these days.
To
be in your presence.
This last night.
Make it my night.
This last night.
Make it my night.
I connect and I collect
my portion
of the mantle.
In the name of Jesus.
Father,
I receive fresh grace, fresh fire tonight.
In the name of Jesus.
As your servant ministers
tonight,
let what is on him
rub upon me.
What is on him,
come upon me.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift the voice and let us pray.
Let the
Ragada, Jesus.